Welcome to this month's installment of Industrial Heating Magazine's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and host Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Solar Manufacturing is the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. This month's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast is the third in a series entitled Hot Zone Designs, Past, Present, and Future. Here's our host, Jim Nagy, to introduce the topic of today's podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for the final podcast of a series we are calling Hot Zone Designs, Past, Present, and Future. Bill Jones is a pioneer in our industry and one of the few people who were part of the dawning of the modern era of vacuum heat treating furnaces. Today we will ask Bill about his vision for Hot Zone Designs in the future. So, Bill, what do you see for the future of hot zone designs for vacuum furnaces? What design innovations or features of the graphite insulated hot zone do you envision for the future?
Well, the first thing I want to say, Jim, is that the metalworking industry is a relatively slow-moving industry. We're not like the semiconductor or the Apple iPads and all that. They change every year in their designs, and they come out with some new gadget and some new app. The vacuum furnace industry has evolved over 50 years or more, and it's relatively slow, although there are considerable improvements, of course, that have been made, and there will be more in the future, some of which very possibly we may not be able to envision.
Here at Solar Manufacturing, we have been working on a new insulated hot zone with a new graphite board material. We will be displaying a hot zone at Furnaces North America in Nashville, made with this material. Give us an idea of what this hot zone will do for the vacuum furnace heat treating industry.
About a year and a half ago, Frank Schock of Graphite Machine, Inc., up in Topton, Pennsylvania, called me on the phone. And he said, Bill, I have an opportunity to buy a graphite board. I'd like you to consider actually going into business with me on this board and integrating it into the vacuum furnace and possibly marketing it to industry. And I told him at that time, I said, Frank, I don't see this. Because there are already half a dozen board manufacturers out there. And I don't see how your new board is really going to be any better than what is on the market today. He said, well, I don't agree with you on that, Bill. I have talked to the man who has developed this, and I'm able to buy the entire manufacturing process for an economical price. And so I have made the decision to go ahead and go into that business. I said, all right, Frank. I said, I'm not going to put any money into this, but what I will agree to do is to test your board after you have manufactured the original pieces. So he went and bought the company, and he then set it up in Topton, and he produced a pilot of those boards, and he brought them down to me. And we designed a special insulated system, if you wish, in the top of one of our laboratory furnaces so that we could measure the thermal efficiency of this new board material. At the same time, we bought the same size board from six other manufacturers, and we tested all these boards one against the other. And sure enough, the board material that Frank Schock came up with not only is much more thermally efficient, as much as 30%, than anything else available on the market, but it also has very low outgassing characteristics, and it is strong, and it does not erode. So with all those things in consideration, our engineers sat down and we designed a graphite board hot zone. Those boards have now been made. We have built a hot zone, and it will be put on display, as you have noted, Jim. You might say, well, this new board, it's just being, you haven't tried it anywhere, and so you don't really know how well it's going to perform over time. Well, Frank produced enough board that about 6 months ago, we replaced the front face of our most egregious hot zone with that board. In other words, a furnace that really chewed up the current insulation type designs that we have. And so this was a really tough application for us, and this would be a great place to test that board. So that board has been in place in that furnace for 6 months, and it looks like the same as the day we put it in there. It has not warped, it has not distorted, it has not broken, it has not frayed, it has not, there's been no graphite dusting off of it. A little bit later, but it's been in operation now about 3 months, we replaced the entire bottom car of our 12-foot car bottom furnace here at Souderton with that same board. That board has been in operation, again, for about 3 months, or maybe a little longer, and it has held up very well. It has met all of the design criteria that we were expecting. It has low outgassing, it outgasses low on heat up, and it is thermally efficient. It's a much better product than what is on the market today, and I can see nothing but good things for this board. And we are incorporating it into our designs of our furnaces today as we are able. Now, I don't want to put down our current designs, because our current designs of the felt, foil, and so forth work very well. The board is just better, and there's no question that it's going to see a significant place in the future. Now, we have somewhat of an exclusive arrangement with GMI, but it is available to other furnace manufacturers, and we do not have a lock on the market.
So what other design innovations do you see coming toward us in the near future? We talked about the all-metal hot zone, the insulated hot zone, and now this new board insulation that we will be introducing at F&A. What else do you see as a possibility for the advancement of furnace technology?
Well, there's several areas that I think that we have see improvements. And the first one, I think, we've already done to a major extent, but I think it will be improved even further, and that is the ability to measure the temperature uniformity in the vacuum furnace to, say, meet the AMS 2750 aerospace specification. This is not exactly an easy specification to meet, and the instrumentation, the electronic instrumentation to do that, is being developed and improved consistently. And here at Solar Manufacturing, we have recently hired two programmer instrumentation people to accomplish that. And we know our competition as well has made strides in that area. But temperature measurement and temperature control for these aerospace applications and the medical applications is a great necessity. And then to maintain that with our internal maintenance people is also a major consideration. And so we're working on trying to make this better and make it easier, not only for ourselves, but for our customers and even our competition. We don't mind sharing that type of knowledge with other people. So this area of temperature measurement and control is something that's going to be addressed in the very near future to a major extent. Now, the other area has to do with the ability of the vacuum furnace to cool. That is to quench faster and harder. A number of us are working on that technology and to operate furnaces to 20 atmospheres, or as our friends in Europe like to say, to 20 bar. And we do that as well, and some are even say higher. I want to emphasize, however, that the operating pressure is not necessarily the predominant criteria in that equation. The secondary and nearly as equal is the gas velocities in the hot zone and the positioning of, in our design, the gas nozzles and how that gas enters and exits the hot zones. Now, in our most recent designs, we have developed shutters in the back of the furnace in order to reduce the pressure drop and to improve the thermal characteristics of the furnace. In fact, a lot like the original Ipsen furnace design, but except we're doing it more with more modern techniques. These things are evolving. So again, the whole idea is to open the market share for the vacuum furnace so that it will do things that were traditionally done, let us say, in the integral quench, oil quench furnace, which is more or less the standard in many applications. However, the vacuum furnace is a more expensive piece of equipment, although it is less subject to maintenance issues than some of our predecessors. The other things on the horizon has to do with things like vacuum carburizing, which we've been working hard at for the last 5 or 6 years. So has our competitors. But I think we've emerged out of that whole pack as a leader. And we have several people on that working here, along with our scientists. And I think we've made considerable inroads there, as well as what we call our vacuum gas nitriding applications, which we also are working on, not only for the standard atmospheric type, which we've modified the vacuum furnace so that it would do it, to compete with an ammonia gas nitriding furnace, so that we have a furnace which we think is faster, and it gives us a better nitrided layer with more modern, sophisticated controls like those that are available from SSI. So there's a number of things on the horizon that are developing, and I think we'll see come down.
This wraps up our third and final podcast in the series we are calling Hot Zone Designs Past, Present, and Future. Please join us again for our next Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast with Bill Jones. We trust you have found this series of podcasts helpful.
The Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. The websites of Solar Atmospheres and Solar Manufacturing contain technical papers and articles for download related to vacuum furnaces and vacuum heat treat processing, which will be very helpful to our listeners. We also encourage our listeners to search the Resources tab on our websites for other technical resources available through the solar companies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to look for our next podcast for another informative Vacuum Heat Treat Minute.